Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy, Lord, for all of us. We just worship you tonight. We glorify, we lift up the name of Jesus tonight in this place. We glorify you, Lord, in everything that's said and done tonight. We decrease that you would increase. Touch your people tonight, Lord, by your Spirit. Touch their hearts, Lord. Heal their hearts, Lord. Heal their bodies, Lord. Heal their minds, Lord. We expect this to happen. And we thank you for it beforehand. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for his presence. Hallelujah. The Lord is here. The Lord is here tonight. You're here, so the Lord's here. He says where two or three are gathered in his name, he's right in the midst. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for being here tonight. Hallelujah. I'm excited at what God's given me to share with you tonight. It goes along a little bit what we were singing about. You know, a lot of us been through a lot of hurts in our life, a lot of pain, a lot of anguish, a lot of sorrows. None of us are exempt from that. But Jesus is the healer of broken hearts. Amen? And the Lord, if you'd turn with me, please, to John chapter 3. I wanted to share with you about love and forgiveness tonight. John chapter 3. Verse 16. Very familiar scripture. We read it this morning. Well, one day I was reading this verse, and I read it, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And then the Lord said to me, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Then the Holy Spirit quickened me, "For God so loved the world that he forgave." He gave and he forgave. Amen? He gave us Jesus. Hallelujah. He gave and he forgave. Thank God for forgiveness. Amen? Thank God for forgiveness tonight. Thank God for mercy. Blind Bartimaeus said, "Have mercy on me, Lord Jesus." He meant have compassion, same word. Mercy and compassion are the same word if you look it up in the concordance. Have mercy upon me. Compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved. Compassion is God's love in action. That's what compassion is, really. We're moved when we see. I walked down the streets again this afternoon, and I was sharing with your pastor. I'm just moved to see these people. They're hurting so bad. And like those songs say, all they need is Jesus. He's the one they need. Amen. They need God in their lives. I'm going to talk to you about love and forgiveness tonight. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, please. Hallelujah. The sweet spirit in here tonight. 1 John chapter 4. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater is he that's in us, Jesus Christ, than the devil that's in the world. "They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth in the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected or completed in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he say he loved God whom he hath not seen? In this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. I know a lot of people, they profess to be Christians, and they're prejudiced because of someone's color. Well, they're not Christians according to this scripture. The Bible says it can't love the person who you see. How can you say you love God who you can't see? Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible said we have to be perfected in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. Hallelujah. God is love. If we're Christians, we're supposed to act like He does in this world. I'm not saying we don't miss it once in a while, because we're all imperfect until we get to heaven, praise God. But we can walk as close to Him now on this earth. Amen? Every day we can press on toward the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul did. He ran the race that was set before him. He pressed on to that higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. And love never fails. You and I will never fail in this life if we choose to walk in love. See, we have a choice every day of our life. We have a choice to bless people or curse them. Words are powerful. I was sharing in Peru this last Tuesday. I said, pertaining to marriage, I said, can you imagine if a husband woke up in the morning, looked at his wife and says, man, I'm so thankful that I have you, that God gave you me out of all the women in this world. God gave you me. God gave you to me, praise God. You're a blessing. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. I thank God you're a great mother. No one else could mother my children like you did. Can you imagine what that would do to her esteem? Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says exhort one another daily. But most people, after a while, being married for a while, you know, then it's not so happy no more. You know, they don't start complimenting each other like they used to and everything. And it starts to die. That's how the devil is. He's subtle. He gets in there real easy. You open the door to the devil, he'll get in there, he'll be real subtle. Pretty soon, no more flowers. Pretty soon, no more cards. Pretty soon, you forget their birthdays and everything else, anniversaries. It's sad to see, but I see it a lot. In the body of Christ, even. People forgetting birthdays of their mates or when they were married. You know, before you get married, you try to be on your best behavior, don't you? Both parts? Oh, yes. You know, the guy opens the door for the girl. The car door every time they go someplace. Then after they get married, then she's got to open her own car door. Shouldn't be that way. We should be the same all the time. Amen? As Christians. The Bible said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the way you and I should be. Every day in our life. Amen. I still open the door for my wife, praise God. Hallelujah. I did it 10 years ago when I married her, and I'm still opening the door for her. Hallelujah. God changes not. I don't want to change either. I want to kindle that flame. Praise God. I called her today. I can't wait to get home. Hallelujah. That's the way it should be. But see, you got to love one another as Christ loved us, the Bible said. We got to forgive one another. A lot of people got hurts in your life. Every one of us have hurts. I shared with your pastor a few hurts in my life. I don't feel free to share them tonight, but there is some hurts in my life. But you got to go on in God. Amen. You got to give it to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord was showing me different instances in the Bible about forgiveness. You remember Joseph in the book of Genesis? His brothers were jealous about him, so they tried to get rid of him, didn't they? Didn't they try to get rid of their brother? Dug a hole, threw him in it. Amen. But then there was a famine in the land, and his brothers came to get some food, and he was the second highest up in the country, besides Pharaoh. Amen. And he saw him, and he had compassion on him. His own brothers, they tried to do away with him, but he forgave them. God used him in a mighty way, see? He forgave the butler and the baker when he was in jail because he interpreted dreams. Amen. And they said, oh yeah, we'll tell him when we get out of here. And they didn't tell him. He sat in jail for a couple years or whatever. That's forgiveness, man. He had to forgive. And then Pharaoh's wife accused him of trying to come on to her. He had to forgive her too, didn't he? He had a heart of forgiveness. Joseph did. That's how we have to be. We have to be examples. Hallelujah. Stephen, Acts chapter 7. Turn there, please. Hallelujah. The Lord just gave me this before we walked in there tonight. Hot off the press, praise God. Acts chapter 7. See, because unforgiveness keeps us into bondage. It robs us of blessings. Acts chapter 7. Most of us know the story about Stephen. He was a man of God. And they didn't like him. He was talking about the Lord. Verse 55, it says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul of Tarsus. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And listen to what he says next. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He forgave them. They stoned him. Earlier verses said they started biting on him. They were like wolves. Amen. And he forgave them. Lay not this sin to their charge, Lord Jesus. Turn to John chapter 8. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. John chapter 8. Verse 1. And Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. One thing they forgot to put, where was the man? Huh? This woman was taken in the very act of adultery, it says. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those that are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee or judge thee. Go and sin no more. So Jesus forgave the woman that was in adultery. Isn't that amazing? That's what I call amazing grace. Amen. Hallelujah. How sweet the sound. Amen. God's good, isn't he? He forgives. Turn to Luke 23, verse 34. I'm just giving you some examples of forgiveness. Luke chapter 23. Praise God. Luke 23, verse 32. And it says, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Isn't that something? People that crucified him. Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. That's what I say to people now when they come against me. Hallelujah, it really helps too. Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. The devil's crazy. If you're not saved, you hear the wrong voice. The Bible said there's many voices in the world, none of them without significance. You know, there was a man, Norval Hayes, he was at our church. I don't know if some of you have heard about him, but he was at our church, or I heard a tape by him years ago. He was at our church last week. But he talked about he visited a prison one day. And he went around talking to all the prisoners. He said, "Why are you in here?" Went up to this one man, "Why are you in here?" And he said, "Well, I killed my wife." He said, "Why did you kill her?" He said, "I heard a voice. I heard a voice, kill her." So Norval, you know, walked away, went up to another man. He says, "Why are you in here?" He says, "I raped a woman." He said, why'd you rape her?" "I heard a voice." Isn't that something? The Bible said there's many voices in the world, none of them without significance. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look it up, write it down. Every voice, there's many voices in the world. Amen? John the Baptist was a voice, wasn't he? The Bible calls him a voice crying in the wilderness. You and I are a voice today, but we also hear God's voice. John chapter 10, he says, "My sheep hear my voice. A stranger they will not follow." But if you're not born again, and if you're not renewing your mind with the Word of God, you're going to listen to the wrong voice. I shared a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 today, verse 3 through 5. "For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus." Our weapons aren't carnal. When I go out ministering on the streets of Minneapolis, I don't take a switchblade with me. Amen. I don't take a gun. I take the Word of God. I've had people threaten my life years ago. I said, "Hey, praise God, go ahead. I know where I'm going." One guy got right down on my feet, started crying when I said that. He didn't know what to do. Drove the devil nuts. Amen. I know where I'm going, man. Praise God. Have at it if you want to. Amen. I'm not afraid of the devil. Amen? Amen. You shouldn't be either. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Right. You've overcome them, the Bible said. Overcome the devil. Yeah. Overcome unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will keep people in bondage. That's what the devil wants to do. Keep us in bondage. No matter what you've been through, you got to let it go and let God. You know? Praise the Lord Jesus forever. Amen. You got to let it go and let God. God forgives. Amen. If you can't, just stay away from the person. Amen. If you have to. If you're having a hard time with somebody, you can love them from afar, but forgive them. Amen. They don't know what they're doing. That's the truth. Praise God. But we have to be like Christ. I'll give you some more examples in Ephesians chapter 4. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 4. When we get born again, the Bible tells us to renew the spirit of our mind. It's so important, brothers and sisters, to get into the Word of God after you accept Jesus Christ in your heart. Amen. It transforms your life when you know what the Bible says. The Bible said in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." I used to be sick all the time after I got born again. All the time. I was sick all the time. And some other Christians, so-called Christians, told me God was trying to teach me something. And then I found a scripture in Psalm 107, verse 20, says, "He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions." So then I wasn't stupid when the sickness tried to come on my body. Amen. I cast down that thought. No, no, devil, you're not coming on my body in Jesus' name. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." Sickness is a curse, isn't it? Amen. There was no sickness until Adam and Eve fell. Everything God made was good. Everything He made was good. Amen. Everything He makes is good today, too. But pride gets in the way, just like it did with the devil. That's why a lot of people don't get saved. Too proud. I can live my own life the way I want to. I'm not hurting nobody. As long as I don't kill anybody, pay my bills on time, I'm going to heaven. Well, the good news is, it's not what you do, it's what Jesus did. Amen. Amen. That gets them, praise God. Not by what we do, it's what He did. Thank God for His forgiveness, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, if I can find it here. Oh, thank you, Lord. You guys are quiet tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Verse 21. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, that word means manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's important for married people. Amen. Devil wants you to go mad at each other. Go to bed mad at each other. He's come at me. He's not a respecter of persons. There's been time I was downstairs laying on the couch. The devil says, stay here. Sleep on the couch tonight. I'm being honest with you. I'm opening my heart to you. But the spirit inside of me said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Amen. And I crawl up in bed and I grab my wife. I just say, give her a kiss on the cheek. I'm sorry. And I go to bed. Praise God. Never let the sun go down upon your wrath, the Bible said. That's why there's so many divorces in the world today. Because it grows. It goes into the next day. And all you need to see is one little thing happen. Then it makes you madder and madder. And you're putting that seed of bitterness deeper and deeper in your heart. Amen? Can I get at least one?
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Put it away lying, it says. Neither give place to the devil, verse 27. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. This is what I want you to get. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Even as God, it says, has forgiven us. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. We all need to hear this message. Amen. We need to hear it. I need to hear it more and more all the time. The more you do for God, the more their attacks there are. A lot of people say, well, the devil never bothers me. Well, what are you doing for God? Amen. God doesn't send the attacks on you. Satan's out to rob, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Isn't that good to know?
Yeah.
I want the abundant life while I'm living here too.
Yeah.
I know it's there in heaven for me, but I want it now on earth.
Yeah.
Amen. Colossians chapter 3. Praise the Lord. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime, past tense, when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. A lot of words there, huh? The main line is, we got to forgive as Christ forgave us. I shared this morning that I used to go to a Lutheran church. I used to say the Lord's Prayer every Sunday before I walked out the door. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever and ever. Amen. Words didn't mean nothing to me until I got born again. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. They're good words, I tell you. They're out of the Bible. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in forgiven. In heaven. Forgiven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Pretty hard stuff, isn't it? Hallelujah. We have to forgive. Turn to Mark chapter 11, the faith chapter. Mark 11, 22. Praise God for this church. Amen. What God's doing in Mitchell, South Dakota. Amen. What he starts, he's able to perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. I was talking to the pastor about a vision. You've got to have a vision for this city. See this place filled up every Sunday. Have an expectancy that it will. Start inviting people to come to church, and you'll see the place filled up. You'll have to get more chairs, praise God. That's God's will. A lot of people say, well, I don't like those big churches. People come up to me, oh, how do you like those 5,000 member churches? Well, I love them, praise God. The more big churches we have, the less people are going to hell.
That's right.
I want big churches, praise God.
Yeah.
I like little ones, but I like bigger ones. Amen. You got to start someplace. I told you when I went there in 1982, there was 125. Now we're up to 5,000, praise God. There's no turning back. But you have to have a vision. Write it down on tablets. Thank God for it every week. Thank you, Lord, for filling our sanctuary. His presence is here. He's filling our sanctuary. Praise God for that music, sister, brother. You guys are anointed. Keep singing about the anointing. Amen. And he wants to fill this place up with people. And he wants those people to be filled up to go out into the world and get other people filled up so they can come to church. Amen. Then they can go. They can get full. They can go and fill other people. Jesus said, feed my sheep, didn't he? There's a lot of sheep out there. Jesse the Planner said there's a lot of good sheep and there's a lot of bad sheep. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us have went our own way. Doesn't matter how bad you are or how bad you think you are, God loves you. That's the good news, man. That was good news to me when I was a no-good bum. That was good news when someone told me God loved me while I was yet a sinner. Christ loved me. Amen. That's the gospel. That's power, man. That's love personified. When we love people for who they are, praise God. God's the only one who can change them. We're not the Holy Ghost. When I first got born again, I was so righteously indignant at sin, I hated the devil. And I'd always tell people, well, I can't go over there because they drink alcohol. I'm not going to go over there. No, I can't go to that wedding over there because they're serving alcohol. So I didn't go. For about years, I didn't go. And finally, the Holy Ghost said, go. I went one time. Four people got born again when I went. Hallelujah! Went outside. A guy was drinking a beer. He said, man, I'm backslid. I said, slide back, brother. He threw the beer out of his hand. Started tears rolling down his cheeks, praise God. I didn't hit him over the head with a Bible and said, you know better than that, brother. You shouldn't be drinking. No, I said, Jesus loves you, man. The Bible said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us.
Yes.
There's that word again.
Yes.
Faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Thank God for His forgiveness tonight. If He didn't forgive me, I wouldn't be here tonight. I tell you that. Amen. If He held things, had a chalkboard, every time I made a mistake, I wouldn't be here tonight. Amen. That's right. Praise God. But thank God He doesn't. The Bible said, as far as the east is from the west, He's removed our transgressions from us. That's a long way. Infinite. Infinite. Turn to Isaiah 55. Then we'll come back to Mark 11. You guys get anything out of this tonight? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Abundantly. Above all that we could ask or think. Which we just started, we've had a prison ministry, but now it's really getting on fire, praise God. I tell you, there's more people in prison on fire for God than the majority of the body of Christ. They're in prison. They don't even know it. Amen. But I tell you, God's opening up doors into prisons. There's getting more preachers in prisons, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. God's using them. The Bible said He'll take the abased things of the earth and exalt them. Amen. I mean, people that used to know me, we had our 20th high school graduation here a couple years ago. Seems like a couple years, been longer than that now. But we have this little book we send out to everybody in the class, you know, and it tells you, you know, your name and what you're doing now and all that stuff. Well, in my senior year of high school, I got kicked out of sports for drinking. You know, I went to a party and someone squealed on me. I had beat him out for a position the year before he graduated, so... He squealed on me. He was mad at me, you know. Couldn't forgive me or something. I don't know what it was. But to make a long story short, I got kicked out of sports for drinking. You know, I was captain of the team and everything, you know. But that didn't matter. You know, it did back then because that was my God. But it doesn't anymore. Praise God. But anyway, praise God. You got to forgive people, you know. And I went to this graduation thing and these guys had the book here. My real name's Alex. That's my first name. I go by Nick. That's my middle name. My dad's real name's Nicholas Alexander, and they call him Alex. My real name's Alex Nicholas, and they call me Nick. Figure that one out. But anyway, I went back, and these guys go, "Alex Kim, pastor?" Yeah, they couldn't believe it. God takes the low things and exalts them. I said, "That's right. Yeah, I got born again, praise God. One day I got on my knees and said, 'Jesus, if you're real, come in my heart.' That's what I said, and I got to witness to him, see? Oh, okay, you know. Yeah, my life's never been the same, I said, since that day. August 22nd, 1976, I got born again. Amen. Praise God. But they couldn't believe it. One guy walked up to me, he was from Arizona. He goes, because I used to go out with his old girlfriend, or he ended up marrying the girl. And they were at the place, and he goes, "Hey, could you send me one of your tapes?" And I did. Never heard from him, but I sent him a tape. Amen. Praise God. For what God's doing in people. But we have to know His forgiveness. If I didn't know God forgave me, how could I forgive other people that have hurt me? A lot of people have hurt me. A lot of people say things. You know, remember that when you're a little kid, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you? That was the biggest lie the devil ever perpetrated. Because there's so much power in words, isn't it? Amen. Isn't there power in words? I saw this one woman one time, I'll give this for an example here. I was working at the post office, and this one girl, she had lost, she quit smoking or something, and she was really excited about it. And I was sharing the Lord with her, and she'd come to me, and she was all excited about it, you know. And I just said, "Hey, that's really great," you know, just encouraging her. And you know, the Bible says Satan comes immediately to try to rob the word that's been sown in our heart. And I walked away from this girl, and I was working on a different machine, and some guy walked up to her and says, "Boy, you're getting kind of heavy, ain't you?" And it just crushed her. Immediately. And the Holy Ghost said, "The devil robbed the seed right away." So I ran back over there again and just loved on her some more. But that's how the devil is, see? He comes to rob, to kill, and to destroy. He comes to condemn us, tell us how rotten we are. God wouldn't... I meet people all the time. "God can't love me. I'm so bad." I said, "No, you're not so bad. You're not so bad. Devil's lying to you. I said, "How do you ever hear about the Apostle Paul?" Most people did. I said, "He was bad. He threw Christians in jail. I think he killed some of them. I don't know for sure. I'm sure he did. But he had them thrown in jail, Christians. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. If God can forgive him, he can forgive you, praise God." Isn't that wonderful? Thank God for his mercy and his love, praise God. The Bible said in John 15, verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." Jesus laid down his life for all of us. We're his friends. He laid down his life for everybody in this city. He loves every person in this city. Amen. No matter what they've done, he loves them. They need to hear that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I shared this morning how someone shared with me when I was drinking out in Fort Ord, California. I said, "Hey, I'm happy for you, but I'm okay." But he planted a seed in my heart. And God sent someone, they put a tract underneath my door one time, and I was living in sin. I picked it up and I read it and I started crying. I got convicted. Isn't that something? The Holy Spirit convicted me. I didn't get saved at that moment, but when I got born again, my sister called me up. She wasn't saved yet. She said, "Nick, how'd you get saved?" "Well, this guy in Fort Ord, California. Someone put a tract under here. My other sister had a Baptist pastor come over. He had these chick tracts, these cartoon tracts. He's reading them to my brother-in-law and me." But I didn't pray then. In fact, I drank a pint of Ripple wine or something after he left, laughing. You know, "I'll go in my closet and pray." That's what it says in the Bible, doesn't it? You know, I was mocking. But it was incorruptible seed. Lives and abides forever, the Bible said. That's what the Word of God. It's alive and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why you and I, we can make a choice to forgive people that hurt us. A lot of kids, they have unforgiveness. They've been in a divorce. They're mad at their mom or their dad. Kids want their parents to be together. It hurts kids. That's why Satan comes at the family, to destroy it. The Bible said a house divided against itself will not stand. That's why he tries to throw division and unforgiveness. "Well, you did this to me, I'm going to do this to you, and I'm going to get even," you know? That's the devil's ways. God's ways aren't like that. His ways are opposite of that. Aren't they? He said, "Bless those which persecute you." Bless them, he said. I bless